trade deadline has come and gone, and the Toronto Maple Leafs only made one trade, and that is for Tomas Plekanec. Is that how you pronounce? Is that how you say it in the Czech accent?
Plekanec.
I don't know, but I thought it was.
I pitched it to Babsox. I mean, I think they liked it. I showed you that.
That was pretty cool.
Better get some royalties on that, boys.
Yeah. So it was. I wouldn't even say that was a pretty lull trade deadline day. Like it was
what, four trades before 2:59.
Yeah, like a couple of trades happened after the
barn burner.
But like, yeah, the big one to start was, I can't even call it a big trade, was the Ian Cole trade.
Ian Cole being traded for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The second time in the last 5 days.
Yeah, which I mean, you expect that to happen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I think what really got people was the Paul Stastny trade.
That was a weird one. If not for that trade, it would have been a real boring day.
I mean, the McDonough trade caught me off guard a little bit just because it happened like right at that deadline.
Everyone's expecting it, those kind of trades, but you never, it's weird.
It's hard to get those trades to come in like that, especially with all the pieces that get moved. So, I mean, yeah, I'm going to give my 2 cents on the McDonough trade right now. Because
I will let you talk.
You can keep your mic on just in case I go way off the rails. It doesn't matter. All right. So I've been thinking about this trade since it happened. I mean, we heard that the Leafs, the Lightning, the Caps, and we said the. Who were the other teams that would have been about? Bruins,
Penguins.
and the Panthers. Yeah. Penguins probably couldn't afford to do the deal based off what they were asking for after they did the Broussard trade.
No, yeah. They would have had to give up. Did they even have a first? I don't even know.
No, I think they traded on the Broussard trade. So.
Yep, there you go. So they couldn't have done it. They would have had to give up Daniel Sprong if they wanted to, and he looks like he's going to be very good, so they probably wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah. So. I think many were, when they saw that the Leafs' name was involved, you thought, okay, maybe this is finally the time that the Leafs are going to get that defenseman that they needed. And then...
Nope. More Roman Pulak.
That's the part, I think, that annoys Leafs fans the most, is that Roman Pulak is pretty much not... Like, that was the only way that Roman Pulak was not getting into the playoff lineup.
Oh, he's going to be in game one.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. Because if he can make it into regular speedy hockey, imagine dump and chase, pucks in deep, bang bodies, playoff hockey.
Yeah.
Roman Pulak's not coming out of the lineup.
But see, my issue was not that the Leafs didn't trade for McDonough, because I can see why.
They didn't trade for more depth.
Yeah.
That was my issue.
I mean, you make the Plekanec trade, and then it's just like, that was it.
It's a depth deal. Because you needed center depth. What else did you need depth in?
Defense. Exactly. And then you see, okay, so then people were rumoring what the Leafs might have had to give up. Now, listen to this. I think it was Pierre Maguire that was on TSN radio who said the Leafs would have to give up Marner or Nylander to get Ryan McDonough.
No thanks.
And then you see what the Rangers gave up. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? The way that this whole thing was propped up, McDonough was, I mean, yeah, he's not an Erik Karlsson type of defenseman. I understand that. But for people to say, oh, it would cost the Leafs either Liljegren, Marner, Nylander, like not obviously all three, but
yeah,
one of those guys to be in the deal. Are you kidding me? The Rangers did not even give up. The only guy in their top prospect group that they gave up was Howden.
He's good.
As I wrote in my piece that went up this morning, Howden was ranked by the NHL as like in their top five, like one of their top five best prospects.
Yeah, he's solid. He's better than his brother Quentin, who he was on the Canada Olympic team, right?
Quentin Howden, yes, he was.
So I mean, he projects to be a lot better than Quentin was, and Quentin was a first round pick as well. But I mean, yeah. he's the captain of Moose Jaw. I think I was watching the game they played against Regina last weekend, and he scored a goal. He's a big part of their team.
He's a big body center.
We were talking about this off the air, and we're not, just to preface this, we're not going to crap on the Rangers. That's not what we're here to do. It's just, I mean, when you listen to the insiders, I'll get back to point in just a second. A lot of them were saying they weren't going to give up Cal Foote or Mikhail Sergachev for Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
The ball's on Steve Yzerman to say, you have the best defenseman in hockey, but we're not going to give up any of our top prospects for the best defenseman in hockey on a solid contract.
And what was everybody saying about the McDonough trade? How the heck does Steve Yzerman acquire a legit top four defenseman without giving up either Sergachev or Cal Foote?
And he kept Braden Point.
And he kept, I think Braden Point was the other name.
Yanni Gourde.
Well, I mean,
20 goal scorer Yanni Gourde.
But this is my issue.
What an anomaly that guy is, by the way.
That trade would have been fine if it was just McDonough.
Yeah.
But what do the Rangers do? And Rangers fans, if there are Rangers fans, listen to this.
I have a couple Rangers fans that I'm friends with. I'll be sure to let them listen to this.
Okay. The issue is not the trade for McDonough. It's that you included JT Miller. Maybe it was because of... I don't know if it was just the Lightning thought that with Namestnikov they needed another player, but
yeah,
to give up that for both Miller and McDonough, that's a steal. Yeah.
It is a steal when you look at it for the Lightning, because in this situation, I mean, JT Miller is going to be behind Stamkos, he's going to be behind Point. He'll likely be their third line center, I would think, unless I'm forgetting somebody.
Who's this?
I just forget his name. JT Miller.
Okay, yeah, JT Miller.
He'll probably project their third line center, which is fantastic. In New York, he was a top six center.
Well, he was a top six winger, third line center.
Yeah.
I mean, Oscar Lindbergh, before he went to Vegas, were flip-flopping as that third line center, if I'm not wrong. I followed, because I remember I had both of them on my fantasy team last year, and that they were hella good.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's not bad. JT Miller, from the vibe I'm getting from a lot of Rangers fans is they're happy to get Namestnikov in, and they're not as heartbroken about losing JT Miller as we might think.
Okay, JT Miller, just the reason why I'm confused about him being involved, and I think I talked to you guys about this as well.
I think we're just confused because of the return. I'm sorry to cut you off. It's just when you see JT Miller is also included in this deal, you immediately go Sergachev or Foote. Or a package of Foote.
Yeah. Namestnikov is 25 years old. He was a 2011 first-round pick.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not...
Father's a Leaf scout.
44 points in 62 games, 20 goals.
Yeah.
JT Miller, he is 24 years old, so a year younger, which, okay. He was a 15th overall pick in that same draft. Okay, he has 40 points in 63 games.
Pretty good, especially playing on the Rangers, who have been without Kreider for most of the season. They've shipped out a bunch of their players. They've been playing with a lot of AHL guys. Peter Holland played for them. Boone Neves. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Neves. And he had 56 points last season. High? That's his career high. Because Namestnikov has never had more than 50 points in a season.
What's he on pace? Well, what's his point total right now?
44.
So he'll probably get there. I'd be safe to say he can get
there. Yeah, Miller has 40, and he's probably going to do better now when he's playing with better players in Tampa. My issue is that I feel like Miller and Namestnikov are pretty much an even swap.
Yeah,
I think the salary makes
that's it. What that's for. I think the JT Miller and Namestnikov were sort of a one for one to add into that deal. I don't think Namestnikov was a main piece.
Well, apparently some were saying that Namestnikov was that main piece for the Rangers, which I don't get it. JT Miller, I think, is a far better player. Okay, he makes a little more money, but are the Rangers in a position where they're worried about money? No.
The one thing I'm worried about with the Rangers is, yes, you have to be happy, I guess, would be the right term, because you get a guy that's young, he's Russian, he's exciting. You got him, Buznevich, Zuccarello. You got some good pieces there. Zuccarello might be gone in the offseason. Who knows what they're planning on?
I think it's just... I feel like Miller and Namestnikov, I didn't even see the point.
But what I'm getting at here is Miller what I said before, Miller, I'm not too sure who he played on a line with, but it was fluctuating the lines for the Rangers.
Yeah.
You have to be cautious with Namestnikov because he played on a line with Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov all season.
And he also, so those, but he also lost that to Yanni Gourde, who's
yeah,
come up,
no,
too.
No, exactly. It's been fluctuation, but for the first good chunk yeah. of the season, he was playing with the two hottest players in hockey. So you have to be a little cautious because those yeah. numbers could be inflated.
Exactly, and that's kind of my point as well, is that... And then for, I'm going to bring this to the Leafs now. Mm-hmm. For people to have the gall...
Classic Toronto.
To say... Oh, in order for the Leafs to get McDonough, it's going to have to cost them Liljegren. Like even if you take Marner Nylander out of it, because that I found that ridiculous when I heard that. But when they said Liljegren, I'm just like, okay, maybe, but he's their top defensive prospect. Okay, behind Dermott, because Dermott's more NHL ready.
To be fair, I don't count Dermott and Kapanen as prospects anymore. They're playing for the Leafs.
I
don't know. That's just me.
People always equate prospects as guys who have hit a certain age and amount of experience. Yeah. And Dermott and...
They're playing every night for the Leafs now, so I don't really consider them
They're full-time NHLers now.
Yeah, they're here.
I say next season, once they've made it full-time right out of camp, they're no longer prospects. That's why I kind of consider them still prospects.
And unless the Leafs make a crazy run, they're going to end up with the Marlies for the playoff stretch, you would have to think.
Well, yeah, they announced that they did that paper transaction.
They're still eligible. They sent him down or did something, didn't they? No, they didn't send him down, but...
Well, they made the paper transaction, but it wasn't like they were...
So just, they're eligible.
Yeah. But then, like, you hear Liljegren. Liljegren would be, to the Leafs, what Cal Foote is to Tampa. Like...
Yeah.
That was my issue. Like, okay, if it was maybe now at this point, do we consider Rassinen the third best defensive prospect or Andrew Nielsen?
I haven't seen enough of Rassinen, but
he's had a bit of a struggle this season.
He was scorching coming out of the first. He had like close to 10 points in the first month of the season. He was flying.
I think he's been overwhelmed with the whole Finland
stuff
and all that.
That really was a turning point, him not making Finland's team.
Let
me just look him up real quick.
But especially as a young defenseman, he's only 18 years old. Like, you know, you have a chance to play for your country's team. How many first round picks were on that blue line for Finland?
It's not surprising, honestly.
Yeah,
they had 5 first round picks from the last 2 years. Miro Heiskanen, who played for Finland's national team at the Olympics.
Yeah,
he's a stud. You have Henry Jokihari.
Valimaki. Is that correct?
Yep. Oh, yeah. There's another V1. Urho Vakanainen.
Yeah.
Another stud. So, I mean, it's not surprising, but that definitely, you would think, had to hurt him a bit.
Now, okay. So, I was trying to think, okay, and I credit Scott Wheeler for this one.
Mm-hmm.
I also included that in my post, which was, what would that deal have looked like for the Leafs? If that's what...
if we're going off the same criteria that... Who do you consider to be a similar player to Namestnikov on the Leafs?
Okay, well, this is what Wheeler had tweeted out. I'm going to pull up the tweet if I can find it. Why can't I not find it? Okay, he said... I think I remember off the top of my head. It would have to be either Brown, Hyman, one of the two. We know it's not Hyman because Babcock has...
I would be so upset if they traded Brown and not Hyman. Honestly, like I like Hyman, but Connor Brown is just so much more. I don't know, Toronto boy. He works hard. He does all the little things right.
Okay.
I don't know. Zach Hyman's been good, but if I had to choose.
Okay, and then it would have been Jeremy Bracco, and Carl Grundstrom.
Ooh.
Okay.
Jesus.
Plus something else.
Plus. What, a first and a conditional second, he's saying?
Oh, I think he said a first.
And that conditional second that the
Rangers
get is, I think it turns into a first if McDonough makes it to the, or if they make it to the cup or something. I forget what the condition is on it. So they're giving up
They give up two firsts. They give up another first if they win the cup in the next two seasons.
Thank you. I'm not comfortable with that if I'm the Leafs. As much.
No, people, I wouldn't give that up because. No.
People are going to probably, if anybody's listening and disagrees with me, be sure to let me know. But McDonough's good. I wrote about this. There's no reason to make
that type of trade
irrational
right now.
Moves and trade for a guy that's going to give you a chance at the cup now
and maybe
when you're
next season.
Just becoming a fringe playoff contender.
Well, they're a playoff contender.
A fringe cup contender there is what go. I meant.
They're not a Pittsburgh. They're not a Tampa. They're not. I mean, Boston is kind of in that situation.
I would have been extremely upset. Bracco and Grundstrom is one thing because Grundstrom looks very good and he looks like a guy that could come over and replace Komarov, I think.
Yeah.
Bracco, I'd be a little pissed off about because he looks like he's.
But will Bracco?
He's also just a beauty.
Just to play devil's advocate is whether Bracco will actually make the Leafs at some point.
I think he would in a couple seasons. Maybe. He's really come on with the Marlies. I think earlier in the season, if you asked me, I'd say there's probably a little chance in the next couple seasons he makes it, but now he's giving me more optimism.
I think with Matthews injured right now, I think, actually, I'll get to that later because I'm not going to bring that up right now. Let's just continue with this trade deadline stuff because the other part of this is not just the buying, but the selling. Now, am I upset that the JVR is still James Van Riemsdyk is still here?
No,
because James Van Riemsdyk is contributing.
We have a 25 goal, 30 point scorer. Sorry, 26 goal because he did score last night. Yeah,
he did.
So,
but you saw the prices that Paul Stastny, Evander Kane.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Evander Kane.
Ryan Hartman got a first round pick. I know he's an RFA and he's got some, control. He went for a first, a fourth, and another player. This is also something else I gotta bring up here. Prospect. It's a word that's thrown out a lot because it's
a
young. I just did a young player that hasn't made the NHL full time yet. That's what I consider a prospect. There are so many prospects. But when you hear the word prospect, you think, oh, that's a good young player. Not necessarily. It could just be like the guy the Sabres got for Evander Kane.
Reagan
was a fifth round pick, I believe, of San Jose.
San Jose doesn't have a particularly deep system.
No.
They have one of the worst in the league.
That's also because they make trades like Evander Kane trades.
Exactly. And they also consistently make the playoffs and have late picks.
Exactly.
Timo Meier's one that worked out, but he was I believe he was a back end of the first round pick or second.
I think it was a higher up because San Jose doesn't always make those lower rounds of the first round.
Well, no, but they pick 25th, 26th.
I mean, they also trade two second round picks for Polak.
Timo Meier was the ninth overall pick. I didn't even know that.
There was one year that San Jose didn't make it. That was why.
Yeah.
But I think that's where people have to watch out with the whole prospect. Include in a trade.
Yep.
There's different levels of prospects. Technically, if you look at the Leafs, a guy like let me think of a name that might work in this scenario. Okay,
Renat Valiev. No,
I wouldn't say
he's
Valiev.
Too old.
we talked
about that.
Sorry,
actually.
Not Timoshov is a prospect. He's a good.
He's wavering Zirkles. On.
Zirkles is a prospect.
Yep.
Is he somebody that I would say absolutely no way should the Leafs trade because he's a good prospect?
Casimir Kaskisuo was a prospect.
Exactly. Those guys are good. Are young players that are a maybe. The Leafs just traded two of those away for
Valiev and Reichel. And neither of them were going to make the Leafs. Neither. Let's be honest.
Exactly. It's when you get into those higher end. I think this is where, and I think Steve Dangle was right with this assessment of ranking prospects and not doing the 1 to 10, but doing the pyramid. And it makes so much sense. Because I would say Bracco, Grundstrom, and let's say Liljegren are on that upper tier.
I'd say Liljegren's probably ahead of both of them.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
In the very top. He's the top prospect. For the
he
Leafs,
is the top.
Doubt.
Let's say Liljegren.
You might put Brooks in that conversation if his let's put an if on this. If his production was better in the A this season, he didn't score a goal till halfway through the season.
It's also his first season in the AHL.
Yeah.
Kapanen was not very good in his first
130 points in the W last year. You expect more than one goal through half the season.
That's he's not put, but he's not.
He also didn't play a lot. He and Bracco were scratched a lot in the first half. So asterisk on that.
And they're not playing with the most offensively gifted players.
Mm-hmm.
And playing juniors.
Colin Greening is a very good offensive threat. I saw him score a goal that one time. Ben Smith is killing it, actually, this year. Let's be honest.
So I'm
like 40 points.
Willing to be patient with guys like Brooks and Bracco and Grundstrom. But that's where I say...
I'm not going to be patient with Grundstrom. If he's not playing for the Leafs next season, I'll riot.
He's doing pretty well with in the SHL. So
I mean, that team's stacked.
But to get you back to JVR, Okay, yeah. Do the Leafs... This is where I think the Leafs, maybe the lack of moves, also say, look, they didn't move JVR. That's like a rental on its own. I agree with that assessment. But there's still no one... I mean, yeah. I don't think a team that would trade for JVR was going to give up a defender. And I think that's what people would expect. Either you get a first and some prospects, again.
The Leafs' best chance was at the draft when they were going after Hamonic. That was their best opportunity to land a defenseman for JVR.
I think I totally agree with that assessment. And people sometimes forget about that. The Leafs did try to trade him.
Yep. Yeah, there was a deal in place, wasn't there? And JVR said he didn't want to go.
He
must have a no move.
He does have a no trade clause. Yeah. But I think, I think he nixed it, but I don't think the deal was consummated yet. I think
they asked him and he said he wanted to stay.
Yeah, he would rather not go and play in the Islanders.
That crappy Barclays Center.
Exactly.
Where the Jumbotron's over the opposing teams. Now.
Although, I'm surprised the New Jersey Devils weren't a team that the Leafs went to and try. I mean, the New Jersey doesn't have a defensive like Hamonic.
Let's go get Brian Boyle again.
No. Please no.
Hey, great guy.
He's a warrior. He's a good guy. Right now he's...
Give me Thomas Plekanec. Why not? Let's give him... We need a different rental center this year. We can't keep doubling up on rental centers.
Exactly. But New Jersey's not a rental. Like, they're going for it. Absolutely. They're not far out of the wild card.
Well, they went out and bought. They got Patrick Maroon. They got Michael Grabner.
Which makes sense for them.
A couple guys that could help a little bit. I mean, how much do they move the needle? Is it real?
It also depends if Corey Schneider can get back. I'm surprised they didn't try for a goalie.
The thing is, Michael Grabner is good. Definitely better than what we saw with the Leafs, but he has like over 20 goals, but only like 3 assists or something stupid this season.
He's a guy where you throw the puck out, hope he catches it in a foot race and scores.
Oh, absolutely. He's a great finisher, but the point is...
Not for the Leafs, he wasn't.
But... He has 6 assists this season.
Yeah.
And 25 goals.
Yeah, the splits don't really look nice there, but...
No, it's fine. He does what you need him to do. He's fast and he scores goals.
Mm-hmm.
But on New Jersey, you need a creator with him. So unless he's playing with Heischer, Travis Ajak isn't going to really be that big of a piece to use there.
Exactly.
He's no Mika Zibanejad, let's be honest.
Yeah. So I think we're not too... upset about not trading JVR because as good as the value could have been to get him back, they like the assurance that he's going to produce, which is fine. But I think we agreed, and we said this before, the biggest issue with not getting a defenseman is that Roman Polak is still here.
Guy.
And last night, I know you didn't watch the game completely, but if you watched, I believe it was
I was preoccupied. I apologize.
The third Tampa goal.
Mm-hmm. I just had the highlights up, actually.
Anderson didn't make the best choice on where to put the rebound because it went to Roman Polak, and maybe he would have thought twice if he knew that was the case. But he throws it. Roman Polak, you know how in the Mighty Ducks movies and Goran Bobby is teaching the team how to pass the puck?
Oh, yeah.
Using the egg and to be soft. The receiving.
Was it the wraparound goal by Johnston?
No.
Okay. That's the one I'm just watching.
No, it was the... who scored?
Man, what a power line. Yanni Gord, Braden Point, and Adam Ernie.
Oh, Yanni Gord was flying last night.
He's good, man.
He's a good player.
They've been very good at finding... I mean, Killorn and Palat. We're going to get off topic a sec here.
They
have some
topic.
Pretty good diamonds in the rough, that team. Steve Yzerman's found some gems.
Yeah, and that's...
Oh, here it is. Oh, Roman, you beauty.
So, as you can tell, Roman Polak did not go to Gordon Bombay's school of how to know, pass the puck because he rifled it into.
Yeah, he went to the Roman Polak school of throwing blind.
He rifled it into Nylander's skate.
Oh yeah, he just tossed it.
Threw it at him, and Nylander can't do anything about it because
now Nylander was skating towards
him. And it ends up behind the net.
Yeah, on that play, Pollock's being pressured and gets knocked into the sideboard or into the corner boards by Johnson, and then just tosses it at Nylander, who's skating towards him. And it goes through his legs.
And it's going to be an issue in the playoffs because teams are very aggressive, especially on the forecheck.
Yep.
And if your defenders cannot make the right play,
shout out Martin Marincin,
it's going to screw you.
You saw it last year with Martin Marincin.
I guess, okay.
Grenade master.
Now, after the trade deadline, everyone was asking which Canadian team has the best chance to go to the finals and win a cup.
Winnipeg.
And they picked Winnipeg.
Yep.
Not because the Leafs are not good. And then they said the defense is not the best.
Let's be honest. Thomas Plekanec is not as good as Paul Stastny.
No.
They got a little deeper.
They
a little
did,
better and deeper.
But I don't think the Leafs expected Paul Stastny to be available. And Paul Stastny was not the centerman they were looking for, per se.
Sheveldayoff said that he got a text from Doug Armstrong asking him if he wanted Stastny. Like, he didn't even call him. He just shot him a text.
Well, they were talking about it, apparently.
Yep.
Like,
beforehand. It was done the day before the deadline, so Sunday.
Yeah, they had talked about it, and then Armstrong just decided it was time.
Yeah, six straight losses. I mean, your team was far and ahead. One of the better
teams. I think
teams
what happened with the Rangers and St. Louis here, I mean, the Rangers decided this weeks ago, we're just going to sell.
Yeah.
And the Rangers kind of, I think, to bring up that trade again, is maybe it was just Yzerman had worn down Jeff Gordon to the point where he's just like, fine,
yeah,
just take him, we'll do it. I think that's kind of what happened with Armstrong. Armstrong was just trying to delay.
Okay, gosh.
That trade for Stastny. He's like, you know what? We're not. This team is not doing well. Yep. It's hit a bit of a slump. Let's just get it done. And then, yeah,
New York's pretty set for this draft. They have three first rounders.
They are
three first rounders, 2 seconds, 2 thirds, and then a fourth, fifth, and sixth.
There are teams that have a good chance in this draft. Some teams who didn't put themselves on a good chance in this draft,
Vancouver,
Arizona. Montreal's in an okay spot. They have 4 second-round picks. I think they should try to move up into the first round.
Yep.
Or try to swing another deal for a centerman. I think that would work. So,
yep.
But I'm not here to give Montreal pointers on how to fix their team. It's not what
Mark Bergevin will take him anyway. He knows how to fix a hockey team, right?
Nah, exactly.
Top natural winger is your top line center. That'll go fine.
Exactly. But
how's that Mikhail Sergachev to get us working out there?
To get us back on point here, because I think when we look at when I hear about the, you know, people talk about the Leafs defense and how, you know, they wish it was better. Look at what the Leafs defense was like last season. You minus Matt Hunwick, Martin Marincin, and then Connor Carrick was the guy who stepped
Matt
in.
Hunwick.
For Roman Polak, insert Ron Hainsey and Travis Dermott. That is significantly better than what the Leafs had last season. And I think Patrick Marleau, adding him to that Nazem Kadri line, so it's not because it was Kadri, Komarov, and Brown, if I'm not wrong, was that line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fourth line was pretty good. It was Kapanen. I mean, actually, it was Matt Martin. So maybe that fourth line. Like, you look at the difference between what the Leafs put out last season to what they're putting out, what could be in the playoffs.
Yep.
It looks way better.
Oh, absolutely.
You have four lines you can depend on.
Yep. Which is more than you could say, honestly, last year. Because Boyle, Martin, and Kapanen didn't give me a lot of faith, although they were probably one of the better lines in the Washington series.
Well, especially the game, you know,
Kapanen,
with the
sure.
overtime goal. And yep. then
Kapanen, that was his second goal of that game. Banged one in front of the net earlier.
Yeah, exactly. So
that line was just too slow with Boyle and Martin. I mean, Boyle obviously is almost 6'7". You don't expect him to be flying down the ice.
No.
And Matt Martin's just a Matt Martin.
Yeah. I mean,
he just hits everything.
And now Matt Martin is sitting in the box.
Yeah, it's
in the press box.
Almost 15 games it must be by now.
Well, how many has it's been since what? The end of January.
Yep.
So almost all of February he's been sitting in the press box. Which, look, you can talk about loyalty and, you know, all that stuff and a veteran guy. He just wasn't that fourth line was unplayable at times.
It wasn't.
And Babcock, that's not how Babcock operates. Babcock likes the four lines.
He loves Luke Glendening.
Well, and that was the thing, the benefit of game mechanic is that
it wasn't Luke Glendening.
It wasn't Glendening. So there's that. I'm going to bring it back to the defense again.
Yep.
Because I'm just not sure what to make of Zaitsev's play.
Not
because
ideal.
It has not been great. And it's been pointed out that he's had his struggles.
Yeah.
But the issue is you don't have a solution. Really?
No, there's no solution coming, honestly.
Unless you flip-flop Hainsey and Zaitsev and maybe that.
Why not? That, I mean, Gardner looked so good with Hainsey. He had, what, three assist nights
yeah.
with Hainsey on defense. Ron Hainsey just allows these offensive defensemen to do whatever they want. And Morgan Riley's just set his career high in assists last night or the night.
Well, career high in points, no?
Points, sorry.
So, the last night he did.
Yeah.
So.
So, like, why not? Jake Gardner, he's.
He had a brutal giveaway at one point last night. And he also
just
had.
Just last night? You could pretty much say that about Jake Gardner on a game to game basis. I like Jake Gardner.
I like
but
it when
boy he makes some
when he has
mistakes.
Those good offensive games, but
oh yeah, he's just such an anomaly. I don't get it. He's what 26, 27 years old,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know what you're going to get from him on a night to night basis. Not even like week to week.
No,
you don't know what Jake Gardner is going to come out of that tunnel every night.
Now this is my question. I think you and I are both in agreement that Roman Polak, unless he breaks his leg again.
Hopefully not. That was gross.
Yeah, that was not fun for him. We never wish ill.
No.
On a player.
As much as I don't want Roman Polak to play, I want him to not play because somebody is better than him, not because he's unplayable because of injury. Because he can't. Nobody wishes that Roman Polak is sitting in the hospital.
If let's say that were to happen, are you comfortable with Connor Carrick?
Yeah, I've been comfortable
or,
with Connor Carrick.
Or does Justin Hall get another chance? Or
oh,
Justin Hall.
Man.
Hall.
Hole. Hall. Something. I'm sure he wouldn't be upset if he said Hole.
I think. I mean,
maybe.
It was brought up that to change to make sure it was Hall.
I think it's Hall. Yeah, that sounds right. Maybe. I think it's too little of a sample size for Justin Hall. Personally, like, he was very.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely. Two
he
games
was
is,
fantastic.
Two games is nowhere close.
Yeah. Was it only two?
It was only two.
Yeah, he went down after the Rangers game, didn't he? Okay. Yeah, so I wouldn't say I'm comfortable with him, but Connor Carrick, yeah, sure. Put him with the right person, why not?
Now.
Maybe not him and Dermott, because that's a pretty small pair.
I would say Carrick and Gardner would work better, because they have done that before. I wouldn't do Carrick and Riley, because that proved to not be a good fit. In my opinion, that just didn't work last season. Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that Babcock will be looking at from now to the end. He's not going to look at Hull because he's playing with the Marlies. Carrick has gone his chances once in a while.
Yep.
Which.
When he had that long stretch of games, was it when Polak was.
With that viral infection,
yeah. When Polak and Hainsey were both out, and he was good.
Do you.
The issue with him is he can be a steady player. He makes his mistakes, obviously, as every young player would, but. He hasn't had that prolonged stretch of games where he's been able, other than that one chance, where he's been able to get in and really test himself.
How about Borgman?
Oh, I forgot about him. Jesus.
Do you think
it's
just,
only been like 2 weeks and I've already forgotten about Andreas
it is,
Borgman.
But I think that what harms
I
him.
I like him.
What harms him is he's
Roman
a left
Polak
shot.
Harms him.
Yeah.
Every defenseman Roman Polak plays makes that
actually,
look
when
like
Borgman
crap.
And Polak were playing together. Possession-wise,
No.
Borgman was able to be okay.
I'm not sure if we talked about it on this podcast. We've definitely talked about it through chat. Roman Polak is the most useless player I've ever seen on a breakout. He either has the hard ring around the boards. That's move one. Move two is if your partner has the puck, make sure you're standing completely still in one of the corners.
Although,
as to not scare your defensive partner.
I will credit Polak. He almost scored last night. It was, I mean, it was tipped on the Nan Vasilevskiy.
He shoot it off one of the placeholders on the glass? And it
No.
Vasilevskiy in
the
ass.
He actually got it on target.
Wow. He hit the net?
I think when Polak hits the net, that shot can be ruthless.
Yeah.
I wish he kind of used him.
He's no Sheldon Surrey, but he can definitely.
But the issue also speaks to that Polak doesn't get those opportunities a lot because he's never in those. He's always stuck in his own zone.
Because he's so bad on the breakout. Yeah. There's a reason he's always stuck in his zone because
exactly
his one defenseman is not the best suitable for trying to break a puck out when forwards are. If you don't have close forward support, those Leafs forwards love to spread it out because they love that little chip pass over the top.
Yeah.
And if the Leafs forwards are playing up and looking for just that tip in, one defenseman's not going to be able to break the puck out against a three-man forecheck. It's just not going to work.
No, definitely not going
to work. Or a two-man forecheck even.
I'm going to look at something right now. I'm going to bring up the last night's game and the stats from Natural Stat Trick, because that's where I usually go for game by game.
Nice.
Advanced stats are pretty. They do a really
you
good
need
job
to send
of
that to me,
everyone.
I need to get with the fancy stats.
Everybody is doing using them when they're referencing game.
I'm just watching a clip on Twitter, and Marc-Andre Fleury was going out to play a puck that was in the restricted zone, and he tried to sweep the puck like a curler to try and get the puck to come outside the restricted area.
Oh, I see.
And Timmins had posted and said he's channeling his inner Kevin Cooey.
I'll see. All right, Austin, you want to know how things went for the Leafs in the second period against the Lightning?
Not kosher, I would assume.
The Leafs were outshot 12-4.
Nice.
Okay.
That's about par for the course.
They were outchanced. So if you look at Corsi,
fancy stat.
21 chances for
21
for the Lightning. 5 for the Leafs.
Nice.
That is 80%
of
80% 80% chances for.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lightning had 80% of the chances in that.
Like period. I said, not with the fancy stats, so I might have some dumb questions.
In the third period, it was 19 for the Lightning, 11 for the Leafs. But the Leafs did had a really good first period.
Oh, I'm just looking at a photo of Plekanec's jersey with the Leafs jersey. God, that looks weird.
It does.
Oh, God. He looked
a little. He did have his struggles a bit last night.
He looked a little weird. Was it to do with the fact that Lou made him shave his goatee 5 minutes after the trade happened?
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't that.
Minutes is polite for Lou. It probably took him 10.5 seconds.
It looked like he was just trying to figure things out, which is understandable. You just came from, from a different team. You didn't really get a chance to meet your new teammates. You want to know. The Nylander line struggled a bit.
Yeah. Well, it was him, Kapanen, and Hyman, yeah?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, Marner...
I
didn't understand moving Marner, to be honest.
Yeah.
I know they want to spread things out.
Was Marner playing with Kadri and Marla?
Yes, he was.
Okay. I don't mind that at all.
So,
If he's not with Nylander, as long as he's not with Bozak and Van Riemsdyk, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he has to run offense on that line. And
the Kadri line did do better, but I was more for it. You got that chemistry with Marner, Nylander, and Hyman that seemed to work well. Why didn't they keep that? I just didn't understand. I mean, you didn't see the game, so you didn't see how. I mean, you saw the Boston game, and you saw how electric they were.
Yeah.
You think the right move would have been to switch it?
You could not even explain the excitement I had when I saw Nylander and Marner selling together after that goal.
Yeah, and
the setup for Nylander to Marner backdoor. Oh.
So
the chills. Oh yeah, they were fantastic.
But imagine Marlo, Kapanen, and Kadri on a line.
It's pretty good.
Especially Marlo and Kapanen.
Marlo and Kapanen down the wings. Yikes.
I don't know. You
try and section off Cappy and give it to the old man, and he's still going to burn you.
Exactly. So,
old man, I apologize.
We'll see how things change. I mean, as we're recording this, it is about 2:40 Eastern Standard Time. So the Leafs will be playing the Panthers tonight. This will come out tomorrow morning, the podcast. Or it might come out tonight.
Happy Wednesday. How I feel.
But, I'm that's probably the one thing I'm curious to see against the Panthers, because the Panthers are a good test for the Leafs.
No news on the lineup yet.
No news on the lineup yet, so...
I guess they don't do skates on back-to-backs, right?
I don't think they're changing anything just because it's a back-to-back. Maybe now they'll have a stretch from Wednesday all the way to Saturday with that outdoor game.
Yeah, they get a lot of time off, which is nice.
Well, and it also allows a team like Boston to kind of catch up a bit with their games in hand. But as we say that, Boston Bruins are in a little bit of trouble. What's worse, losing 4-1 to the Buffalo Sabres or losing Patrice Bergeron to a fractured foot?
Losing to the Buffalo Sabres. Easily.
Yeah.
It's not even a challenge. that's way worse than losing your best player to a broken foot. Fractured foot, sorry.
Yeah, and Boston doesn't have an easy schedule from now to the end of the season. They get the Lightning. They have the Lightning a couple of times. I think the benefit for the Leafs is... I think they're done with the Lightning, if I'm not wrong.
No, they have one more game in Tampa.
They do?
Yeah. They played them twice in Toronto, and then this one.
Yeah, that's... it's like they're mid-March. Would be a nice trip to Tampa, maybe, to go watch a game.
Tampa's a beautiful arena. Oh, my goodness.
It is.
That's the only other NHL rink I've been to. It's fantastic.
Do you think the Leafs, they're currently in second, can they hold that spot?
Before the Bergeron injury, I'd say no. I think they can with Bergie out.
One thing I'll say about the Bruins is that they have been able to overcome the Marchand suspension and played pretty well.
That was, what, 5 games?
4 or 5 games, yeah. But Bergeron...
That was also with Bergeron still in the lineup. Yeah. You need somebody to get Marchand the puck. And who's Backes is there? Oh, Krejci, sorry.
So I would say Krejci moves up.
Krejci and Backes move up to top six.
Yeah.
Well, Backes moves up to top six. Krejci was already in the top six.
Exactly.
But, that makes it a little more difficult. I mean, Pastrnak and Marchand are going to do their thing. I don't even know who their second line is. I'm assuming
it would be Nash, Krejci. It was Nash, Krejci,
sorry,
and
they have Rick
DeBrusk.
Nash, right. Yeah, so Rick Nash and DeBrusk.
Boy, sure. don't they wish Rick Nash was a center.
Don't they wish Rick Nash was Thomas Plekanec right about now?
Probably not.
Could you imagine if the Bruins got Thomas Plekanec, what their fans would do?
No. This is where I say the Leafs... The good thing about the Leafs' schedule, it's not too easy that they get too relaxed before the playoffs, but it's not so difficult that they can't make they can't continue that climb. Yep. First place kind of seems a bit out of reach with Tampa.
Completely untenable.
It's
Tampa
not,
also
no,
has
it's
two
not.
Games in hand on the Leafs.
They do, and they just made that trade, which will... I mean, depending on how Kucherov's injury is, and Tyler Johnson is supposed to be reevaluated for an injury he had last night.
And McDonough's injured.
He's going to
come back.
There's
a lot of speculation about him. Well, he's going to come back soon.
Yeah,
but
next week.
He's coming off of, a broken hand or something along those lines? A hand injury.
Well, I know Kucherov has a hand injury.
Yeah, well, Kucherov missed the majority of the game last night, right?
Yeah.
So they have a couple injuries that could... It all depends, man. You never know. Tampa slid a bit. Like, they were... There wasn't even a discussion about Boston or Toronto catching Tampa a couple, like... month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Boston had their streak, and they said they could catch Tampa down the road.
Yeah.
But Toronto and Boston are, 5-6 points
back?
I think Boston might be, 8 points back, which is a little bit hard.
Right in front. So Toronto is... This is going to be before the Florida game, obviously. Yeah. They're at 84 points.
Which is good.
Tampa's got 89, but they have 2 games in hand. Yeah. Tampa's a team that can make the most out of those games in hand.
Absolutely.
Boston is now 2 points behind, but they have the 4 games.
because they lost the Leafs.
Yeah, I guess we was, but that they still have five games.
Yeah.
In hand, but they
they left points on the table against the Leafs. So
they
people
did.
We're basically saying it's four.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Hey, I mean, first off, how the heck are Boston and I guess the Panthers are another team that are like Florida has six games in hand. I mean, they're nowhere close to the Leafs in terms of standings and points. But how does the NHL schedule work like that?
I don't know. It's the same thing happened with the Leafs in Boston last year, because the Leafs had like five games in hand on Boston for more than the majority of the season last year.
That's very true, and they didn't capitalize on that.
They figured they'd switch it back and get Boston the upper hand this season, I guess. I really don't know. It's weird how the Leafs have played, I think, I don't know if it was before the All-Star break, the Leafs had played the most games in the league.
Yeah.
Not just in the East. They were.
Yeah, so they'll have that time off from now until Saturday to play the Capitals. Then they have the Sabres, so one of
the
four games.
The jersey matchup for that game, so.
Exactly. They have one of the four games against the Sabres.
God, those Caps jerseys are horrid. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be an eyesore on Saturday. Yeah. Then they have the Penguins. Then they have the Stars, both at home. So it's not easy, but it's not. I mean, they've already beaten the Stars this season. The Penguins, that's going to be a tough one. That's a team I root that. Yeah, Tampa and Boston are teams that the Leafs have to go through, but eventually I think Pittsburgh is a team you have to beat in the East if you want to get to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I think Washington is in a bit of trouble. Hopi has not looked good. And Philly is in second. They're on a roll, but Philly has also had really bad stretches this season, but they've also played the Leafs really well. Again, I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves thinking about Eastern Conference final matchups, but it's what we do here. They have the Sabres again after the Stars. Then the Habs come to town. So the next, let's see, 6 games, three of them are against the Sabres and the Habs. That is a great chance for the Leafs to
God
do something.
Damn, I am excited.
And also the back-to-back, it is a back-to-back between the Stars and the Sabres, between the Stars game and the Sabres game, but
yep.
One's in Toronto, one's
in
Buffalo.
Oh, there's a Stars game?
There is a Stars game, because the Stars haven't come to Toronto yet. Then you get the Lightning, as you said, one last time. I'm going through the rest of the schedule. The Lightning, one more time. You have one more trip to Nashville.
There's one team I was thinking about that hasn't come to Toronto yet, and I'm forgetting who it is.
The Leafs haven't been to the Isle yet. Well, the Habs haven't come to Toronto yet. That's two games.
They played
against
two
the
games,
Habs.
Yeah.
So that's
weird.
Yeah, I mean the Leafs have. I think their home. Oh, the Jets.
Yes, that was the team. The Jets haven't come to because they were talking a lot in the deadline about how the Jets were really good at home. And I thought to myself, except for that one time, the Leafs murdered them on their own.
That
home
is
lines.
A game right there. If I'm a Leafs fan, if I'm a Jets fan, if I'm a Leafs player and a Jets player, that game is basically who's
the best in Canada.
Who's the best in Canada? I am looking forward to that one.
We thought it was going to be the game against the Oilers, let's be honest, at the start of the season for who's the best in Canada. Speaking of underwhelming organizations.
You just wanted to bring up the Oilers.
Well, no. Who thought the Jets were going to be better than the Oilers after the Oilers pushed last year?
They thought
they were going to be good, playoff bound, but nobody thought they were going to be this good and the Oilers were going to be this bad.
But then you look at what the Jets have that the Oilers don't have.
Oh, yeah.
Good players. Consistent goaltending.
Oh, that.
And a rock-solid D-core.
Rock-solid is...
For the Jets?
Yeah.
Trouba, Bufflin...
Well, Trouba's injured. He's been injured for about
a month.
He's
coming back soon.
Yeah.
Morrissey.
Yeah, he was skating yesterday.
I mean, I know Enstrom is... Yeah,
Toby Enstrom. He's got like that 12-foot long... He's got like a Chara stick, but he's 5'11".
Who am I missing? I'm so bad with the...
Ben Chiarot. Is he still over there?
Ben Chiarot. Yep, he's still...
Ben Chiarot.
I believe that's the name, if I'm not wrong, or I could be wrong, because... The Jets, that'll be a very interesting game. But I think the benefit for the Leafs schedule, as I've mentioned, two games still against the Habs, four against, that's six games.
Yeah.
How many games have the Leafs played? The Leafs have played 65 games. So that's six games. That's 71 games against other teams other than the... Okay. Six games against the Habs and the Sabres. I'm trying to do math here. Six of your last 17 games are against teams that are way out of it. And then there's also... Who else did I bring up? Who was the other team I brought up? Sorry. The Red Wings again. The Red Wings... I don't know what the heck they're doing. Just no one knows. The Islanders who...
the Red Wings. We haven't touched on them.
No, and
I
don't want...
What a horror show of a trade deadline they did. Well, sorry. The Vegas Golden Knights handed them a first, a second,
they
and a third for Thomas
the
Tatar.
Vegas Golden Knights single-handedly salvaged the Red Wings trade deadline.
Yeah.
Because to not trade Mike Green... No.
They're jumping on the grenade and keeping Mike Green, who's not going to stay in Detroit.
I think the only team, only two teams that could have wanted Mike Green were the Caps
he wanted to go to Washington.
And the Lightning. And both of them, I mean, we know why the Lightning did do it, but the Capitals decided no.
The Caps were after McDonough, too. That's probably why. They spent all their time trying to land him.
Yeah. So
and who knows? The NHL should have, like, a buyout thing like the NBA, where you can, like, have all these rumors, like, 3-4 weeks after the trade deadline where it's like, this guy's getting bought out. Where's he going to end up?
Baseball has the waiver deadline.
Yep.
They have the non-waiver deadline, then the waiver deadline.
I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying it's fun because you get to see all these, like, Vince Carter
think,
to the Raptors.
I think it makes sense to try to do something like that to make it a little more interesting because you put Mike Green on waivers. Is a team really going to take that entire contract? $6 million?
Oh, geez, right.
That's what the cap... No. Like, you know, most teams can't make that. Most contending teams can't make that.
Thomas Tatar will wear number 90 for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Wow.
On that topic.
Stud.
Yeah. He's also doing a selfie video that I'm watching right now.
Awesome.
Good for him.
Austin just
I get lost in Twitter mid-conversation.
Exactly. Anything else you want to bring up for the Leafs? Because I think we got out more than I expected to get out in this one.
I don't think we talked enough about Roman Pulock, personally, but, you know.
So, I think that Saturday game, the outdoor game, will mean a lot for the Leafs because the more points you can bank now...
That'll be cool for Thomas Plekanec. She goes from a terrible lottery-bound team to an outdoor game with one of the better teams in the league. That'll be fun for him.
It will be fun.
Has Montreal... Has he played in it? He must have played in it. Yeah, they had the Winter Classic a couple of years ago against Boston.
Well, didn't they just do the Centennial?
Right, they did the Heritage game, so he could have played in two this year.
He's going to play in two this year.
Wow. This one's probably going to be a little bit nicer because that was that crazy, like, minus 35 Ottawa weather that he had to play in the last game.
They've already started getting the stadium ready to go for the outdoor game. So ruined my ending bit right there.
Well, you can still ask me.
Okay, fine. All right. I think that pretty much ends it. So let's see how they do against the Panthers tonight.
Yeah,
and see if they can continue to rack up those points. Please, if you haven't done so, try to find out where Richard is because we missed him today.
Richard, please contact us if you're listening to this tomorrow. Today, Wednesday. Today is definitely Wednesday.
Today is definitely
not Wednesday.
Not Wednesday. It's Tuesday.
Well. I try my best. I'm just trying to get Richard home, man. Give me a break.
So, Richard, hopefully we'll be here the next time we talk. We'll get some spring training updates because there have been some. And we will also, I think the next time we record this will be, I'm trying to think, there will be after, I think it will be after the outdoor game. So we'll get to talk about
next week
what that has to do. Well, because there won't be many things to talk about other than the outdoor game after that. Maybe we'll wait until a couple of other games happen as well. And, yeah, the Raptors continue to make things easy for themselves, so we'll talk about them next time as well. Austin apparently has gotten a new follower, so
yeah.
I should continue
to
say.
We're doing the thing, guys.
Make sure you follow Austin on Twitter, _AustinOwens, because it's working. Somewhat working.
It's working. My hot takes on the Olympics were they were okay.
Yeah.
That was a fun time. Let's just touch on that. Good for Canada. Good for...
Yeah. Other than the two curling upsets.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. You didn't win in the sports you thought you were going to, but 29 medals.
It was
very
good
congratulations.
Olympics.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
I mean, I got to see just watching the bobsleigh
do
really well. And the tie for gold. That was unreal.
Yeah.
Okay, dude, I know I'm supposed to be exiting here, but... My gosh.
We didn't touch on the
Olympics. That was most exhilarating. Well, I mean, that's more of an international thing. It's not, we yeah, don't, but that tie in the bobsleigh, I think, was a crazy, crazy ending to that one.
Yep.
You had, excuse me, Tessa.
Tessa and Scott, fantastic. Bhutan in speed skating, fantastic.
Yeah. Team Canada getting bronze after losing to Germany, which...
Good for Germany.
Good for Germany.
Holy hell, what a tournament for them.
Holy hell, what a tournament, but holy...
They were a minute 30 away from beating Russia in the gold medal game.
They were, and Canada was also very close to tying that game. So let's not forget that one. Another surprise, I think, too, was Mark McMorris with his performance after being in a hospital bed.
And Wojtek Wolski.
And Wojtek Wolski. Yeah, so
That's the Canadian grit right there.
As much as we wanted the NHL players to be there because of results and what they would have meant, seeing those stories, I think, meant... And that's what the Olympics are supposed to promote, is the stories of these individuals and the hard times they go through. NHL players don't really have the same... They don't have that on the same level. So that at least alleviated some of the pain of not having... A guy, you know, a line of Connor McDavid.
Just one more thing. I don't know if you saw it. Mikhail Kingsbury posted a video, and it was after the women's game.
Oh, they were singing
My Heart Will Go On.
My Heart Will Go On.
And it was Patrick Chan, Scott Moir, Tessa Virtue, Rachel Holman, the entire curling team was there, sitting in, like, some of them were sitting in the aisle of the bus just singing My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
That was, you know, the most Canadian thing I've ever seen in my life. Those athletes do enjoy themselves once they're done the competitions, and it's always fun to see.
A little bit too much.
With that, on that note, make sure you continue to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, Tip of the Tower. You can find all of our latest Block Talk Radio episodes. Oh, God, I really butchered that. But you can find all of our episodes on Block Talk Radio, iTunes, I believe you can still find on SoundCloud and any other podcast apps you use. Let's see what the Leafs do next. We will see how things go with the Raptors and the Blue Jays. Very fun month of March coming up, I think. So enjoy that one, and we will see you next time.